In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, God's only Son. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, God's only Son. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, God's only Son. I'm very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid.
Thank you, Brother Ray. Again, happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. I'm going to ask all our fathers, if you would just stand. I want to recognize you. We are not doing as much as we do with mothers. Go ahead, fathers. All our fathers, would you stand? You know, Mother's Day, we have gifts, and we give flowers, and we give other gifts. But for fathers, we'll just say thank you so much for your part in the family. And you may be seated. And I just thank God for fathers. One little boy was asked, what is Father's Day? And he said, well, it's sort of like Mother's Day. We just don't spend as much money, you know. And so I am thankful for a godly father and two grandfathers who knew the Lord as well. And it's a real blessing, and I'm glad that we can honor fathers. And as we look at Father's Day today, we've been going through the book of Revelation. We're going to get there in just a minute, but just by way of introduction, some statistics for you here. 24 million children in the United States live in a fatherless home. 24 million. That's just hard to imagine, isn't it? 40% of students in grades 1 through 12 come from homes with no biological father in them. 40%. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about fathers and their role and the education and in the discipline and the spiritual training of fathers. And too often, fathers have neglected that responsibility, and thank the Lord for mothers who have filled in the gap and taken up where deadbeat fathers, I think, is a title that they've gotten a lot today. Also, 71% of teenage pregnant mothers have no father in the home. Just the absence of the father in the home. Now, that's not talking about good, responsible Christian fathers. It's just talking about any kind of father there. The lack of influence of the father, and especially a godly father. 71% of high school dropouts have no father present there. And so the statistics are just staggering. Just the presence of a father. When God created the family unit as He made it, He knew what He was doing when He created it with a father and a mother and children. And our society tries to redesign it and redefine it there. But God knew what He was doing when He put the father as the head of the household. A child is four times more likely to live in poverty if there is no dad in the home. 400% more, four times to live in poverty. And so I thank the Lord for dads. So often, you know, it's easy to just escape reality, or at least try to, and leave the home. But I'm thankful for fathers who stick by the stuff there. We're going to look at blessedness. Blessed are the fathers. Or we're looking at the blessedness or the Beatitudes of Revelation. So we're kind of tying a couple of things together there since we've been going through Revelation since, I don't remember when we started it, September or so last year. The word blessedness is a Greek word that means to be fully satisfied. And God wants us to be fully satisfied. Now, people look for all kinds of things. They look to drugs, they look to alcohol, they look to immorality, they look to materialism. People are trying to find full satisfaction, and God wants us to have it. He said He came that we might have joy and that we might have it more abundantly. God wants us to have this, and God wants us to be blessed here. Not just happy. The word happy means it depends on what's happening around us, the circumstances. But as believers, there may be some things around us that happen, some unpleasant circumstances, but those things don't determine whether or not we are fully satisfied, because our satisfaction is tied to our relationship to the Heavenly Father. And it's because of that we are blessed. And we can only be fully satisfied through God. So our English word bless, you know, it seems to be only a Bible word. It's not used other than that. Have you noticed that sometimes in businesses, a sales associate or a clerk at the register would say something like, "Have a blessed day." Now, they're not saying God bless you and using God's name, but in secular society, and there have been some liberal groups, whether it's the ACLU or some other godless groups like that, who they don't like that. They don't like them using the word bless because of the ties that it has to the Bible and the Beatitudes and things here. And so I am thankful for the word blessed or blessed there. And God, we say, God bless America. And may America bless God. So God gives blessedness. He gives full satisfaction there. And so as we tie in these Beatitudes, before we kind of go into our study of Revelation again, the Beatitudes we read a moment ago from Matthew when Jesus was teaching there the Sermon on the Mount, kind of modified them just a little bit. They apply to anyone, father, mother, children, who do these things in the Beatitudes. But I want us to focus on fathers. Blessed are the fathers who are poor in spirit. Blessed are the fathers who mourn. It's okay, dads, for us to cry. You know, sometimes people look at that as a sign of weakness, but it really isn't. Jesus wept, didn't he? And so we know he certainly was not weak. And it's okay for us as fathers to mourn over our children. And we pray that they'll come to know the Lord at an early age. We mourn for our families. We cry out to God for our families there. Blessed are the fathers who mourn. Blessed are the fathers who are meek. Oftentimes they want that status of, I'm the ruler of my house, I'm the king of my house, what I say goes, and all of those things. And though it is true that God has established the husband as the head of the house, there's meekness as well. And so husbands, fathers, need to be meek in our dealing with our wives and children. Blessed are the fathers who hunger and thirst after righteousness there. And we need fathers who are godly, righteous people. Father often sees his primary goal is that of being the breadwinner, bringing in the food and the drink and providing that for his family. And he should. That is one of the responsibilities there. But here, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, not just for the material food that is there. Blessed are the fathers who are merciful there. We have to show mercy because we have received mercy. God has been so merciful to us. We don't deserve any of the blessedness we have. The blessings we enjoy are because of God's mercy, not because we've done something to earn them. Blessed are the fathers who are pure in heart. We need dads who love godliness and purity more than all the other things that are so attractive in the world to someone who is a worldly father. And blessed are the fathers who are peacemakers. Peacemakers at home. Peacemakers maybe when father and mother are not quite, getting along. Fathers, be the peacemaker. When the siblings are having squabbles there, father, be a peacemaker, and don't just say, the greatest way to avoid sibling rivalry. We know the answer to that is only have one child, and then you don't have any sibling rivalry there. And so fathers, we're to be the peacemakers there in the home. And the last one, blessed are the fathers who are persecuted for doing what's right. And sometimes it's not popular to do what's right. But whenever we do what's right just for the sake of doing what's right, that's righteousness' sake, we're not being rewarded, we're not being patted on the back, we're not being recognized for it. We just want to do what's right because it's the right thing to do. And we need fathers who would be blessed because of these things. Well, we see the Beatitudes that Jesus gave, so we want to look at the Beatitudes of Revelation. And there are seven times in the book of Revelation where it says, blessed are, or blessed is, depending on what follows. Let's pray, and we'll look at these seven Beatitudes of Revelation. Father, we thank you once again that we can look at the Scriptures. And Lord, we know that the Scriptures are your words to us. They're not the words of men, but they are indeed the words of God. And we pray that you would help us to receive them as your word this morning. We thank you that the word of God has effect on our lives. And Lord, help us to receive it. And Lord, if we're not careful, we can reject your word. And when that happens, we know that the heart becomes hardened just like soil that rejects the rain, gets hard and dried up. So help our hearts today to be receptive to what you have for us, not just our fathers that are here, but all of us. May we be receptive to your word today and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts through it. In Christ's name, amen. The first beatitude of Revelation we see is in chapter 1, verse 3. Now, we've gone through the whole book, so we're not going to go back and look at the whole context of everything. But blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy. So blessed are the students of the Scriptures there. Notice it says those that keep those things. If you ever watch hockey or soccer, and I confess I don't watch those two things very often as well, but they have one player's position is sometimes called a goalie, but another name for a goalie is a keeper. And this hockey keeper or a soccer keeper, what they have to do is they have to be alert. They have to be ready because the other team, they're doing everything they can to drive that ball or that puck into the goal. And so for that keeper to stop that, he has to, this is what it's saying here, that keep those things. And that's the word that is used here, guarding those things, because Satan will do everything he can to destroy the home, to destroy the father, to destroy the children, and let them become one of those statistics that we read earlier. And this verse says, why are we to do those things? For, because the time's at hand. The Lord is getting ready to come. It may be today. Maybe this week. We don't know the hour or the day. But the Lord is coming back. And so, therefore, we need to be students of the Scriptures. And blessed are those that are in the Word, that study the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said to young Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the more that we study God's word, the more knowledge of God's word and of God we will have, but the more accountable we will become to Him as well. Because to whom much is given, much is required. But with that accountability comes great blessings as well. We are fully satisfied when we are really students of the Word of God. Blessed is he that reads and hear the words of this prophecy. The next one is in Revelation 14. Blessed are the separated from sin. He says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Death is separation, isn't it? We know that that's what death is. When a person dies physically, the body is separated from the soul and the spirit. There, when a person dies without the Lord, he is separated from God for all eternity. And here, the blessedness is, notice that prepositional phrase, in the Lord. Not just blessed is anybody who dies, but only those who die in the Lord. Those that die in the Lord are really fully satisfied when they get to heaven, aren't they? You know, so often our world around us, they have a hard time dealing with death. And that's understandable. How do you deal with that without God and without Christ? It would be so hard, but yet sometimes you hear just about everyone saying, well, he's in a better place, you know? And that helps comfort to mind, but you know, and I know, that not everyone who dies is in a better place. Only those who have trusted Christ are in a better place there. And blessed are they who are separated from sin, because Christ is the one who separates us from sin. He's the one who forgives us. This verse goes on to say, the reason they are blessed in the Lord and fully satisfied is because they rest from their labors. They rest from the weariness that just wears us out as we're laboring here. And notice those three words, works, do, follow. And I've underlined those there. They're works, the things that we do. The rewards that we receive in heaven are based on our works. Now, we don't get to heaven based on works. We know that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of works. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast there. But the works that we do from the moment we get saved until the time we go to be with the Lord, the moment that we are dead in the Lord, our works follow us. And so the question, as one person put it, what in the world are you doing for heaven's sake? You know, and that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be doing something in this world, our works, for heaven's sake, and not for earthly sake. The next thing we see is the works do follow. It's a certain thing. Our works will follow us. Whatever we've done, works of wood, hay, stubble, they're going to be burned up. Works of gold and silver and precious stones, they will last. And our works do follow. That word means to move quickly, so quickly they accompany us. So it's not like we're going to get there and then our works are going to come. When we get to heaven, all the works that we've done, they are going with us at the same time. And we bring all the works that we've done to the Lord, to take the things that we've done on earth for heaven's sake to glorify our Father. Blessed are those that are separated from sin. Revelation 16, 15, our third beatitude in Revelation is, blessed are those that are prepared for the Prince. The Prince of Peace is coming, isn't he? Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments there. He's coming quickly, the Lord is, as a thief. A thief comes unexpectedly. A thief comes without notice. He doesn't ring the doorbell and let you come and answer it. He just barges right in. And here it says, blessed is he that watches and keeps. There's that word again. A goalkeeper, a goalie, a keeper of his garments there. Watching guard. Our garments, that we keep our garments spotless. Blessed are the fathers that are pure in heart, that guard the heart there. Why? Because it goes on to say, lest we walk naked and the shame that comes with that. So when we stand before the Lord and our works do follow us, we don't want to be ashamed of the way that we have lived our lives on earth. We don't want to be ashamed of the way that we have been a father. We want to be fully satisfied, blessed. And we are fully satisfied when we are prepared for the Prince. If the Lord would come today, before I finish this message there, you know, we would then certainly be fully satisfied. Being separated from outward sin, having our garments pure, and being separated within the heart, a pure heart before God. The third beatitude. Number four is in Revelation 19. Blessed are the guests of the groom. Christ is the bridegroom. He said to me, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. There. The marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb are not the same thing. The marriage of the Lamb is going to take place, and we know that Christ is the bridegroom, and the church, all believers, all those who trust in Christ, we are called the bride of Christ there. And this marriage takes place, as we saw in the book of Revelation earlier, when the rapture occurs and the saints go up and meet the Lord in the air, then there's a 7-year period of tribulation on earth. But in heaven, there's a wedding celebration taking place there in heaven. And then after the marriage, just like we do on earth, we have a reception there. And there's going to be a wedding reception, and it's going to be 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom, as we call it. Blessed is he, are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I like wedding receptions. I've been to a lot of them, and they're always fun. I remember, we went, what's it, too long ago? We went to, you know, when Kelsey and TJ, got married, and we went there, and boy, Robbie and Courtney with their famous barbecue, you know, they had all this nice reception there, and I enjoyed that reception so much. And on the way back home, my wife and daughter, well, let's stop and get something to eat. I'm not hungry, you know. I helped myself at the wedding reception. I remember once I went to a wedding reception up in Connecticut back in the 80s, long time ago, and it was in a real nice garden, big area there, and they had waiters there that were walking around with the biggest shrimp you could imagine there. I kind of followed him around a little bit, you know, and the wedding reception, it was a wonderful thing. I can't even begin to imagine what kind of wedding reception there's going to be in heaven, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper, the 1,000 years. Are you going to be there, this wedding? Are you part of the bride of Christ? Are you going to be in this wonderful marriage supper of the Lamb? Those who are, they're going to be fully satisfied. We're fully satisfied now with what Christ has for us. We don't have to wait until then. We have that satisfaction now. Number 5 of our 7 Beatitudes, blessed are the dominators over death. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. We're going to be in that resurrection. You know, you've heard people say before that if you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die once. And obviously that means whenever we are born into this world, we're born physically. But if that's the only birth a person ever has, then he is going to die both physically and spiritually. Hebrews says it's appointed unto man to die, and after this to judgment. So if a person only has the physical birth, he's going to die physically, he's going to die spiritually. Death is separation. He's going to have his body separated from his spirit and soul, and he's going to be separated from God for all eternity. He's going to die twice. But if a person is born twice, he's born once into this earth by human parents, and then he's born again. John 3 says, except a man be born again, he's not going to see the kingdom of God. So those who are born twice will only die once, will only have that physical death. But we will not have that spiritual death because we are dominators over death. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us. Notice it says here that death hath no power. Death is powerless over us because Christ has conquered death for us. And we are now priests unto God. And as fathers, we like to, as I said a moment ago, rule and reign. The home is the castle. Well, here it says, we're going to reign with him 1,000 years there. We will be fully satisfied, certainly blessed, because we've conquered death. Christ has conquered death, and we are victors because of our marriage to him. Number 6, Revelation 22:7. Blessed are the performers of the prophecy. Number 6, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. He says, behold, I come how? Quickly. This is referring to how he comes, not when he comes. Whenever he comes, it's going to be quickly. He's going to come in the twinkling of an eye. The Lord's going to come. He's going to split the skies, and we're going to go and be with him forever. He's coming without delay. The Lord is coming, and he will not tarry. God has an appointed day that Jesus is going to come back, and that day is going to happen. God the Father knows that day. The scripture says that the Son doesn't know that day, but there's going to be a day. He's coming back quickly. Blessed are they that, there's that word again, keep the sayings of this prophecy, who guard the Word of God, who guard our hearts, and we let the Word of God penetrate our hearts and produce in us a kind of godliness, a kind of Father that God can honor there. And the last thing, as we come to number 7, the doers of the decrees. Blessed are they that do his commandments. That do his commandments. The first command that God gives to any unsaved person is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved there. To do this, to perform it, to carry it out to completion, to do his commandments. And as someone has rightly said, when God gave them to Moses, he didn't give the 10 suggestions. He gave the order, the decree, the commandment there. And here he promises a blessing. James says, let us not be hearers of the word only, but doers as well. And those who do, notice it says in this verse, they have a right. They have authority for the tree of life. Remember the verse a few verses ago when we were looking at number 5 where it says, death hath no power over us? That word power and this word here, right, it's the same word. Death doesn't have any right to hold us. It doesn't have any authority over us because Christ has conquered death. And we have the power, we have the right, we have the authority to take of the tree of life, this verse says, and enter into the gates of the city. Why? Because of Christ, who he is and what he has done for us. And so as we look at these Beatitudes of Revelation, and we summarize them here, before it looks like this thing goes crazy and stops working there, a lot of flashing with it. Blessed are the students of the Scriptures. Blessed are the separated from sin. Blessed are those that are prepared for the Prince. Blessed are they that are guests of the groom. And blessed are they that are dominators over death. Blessed are those who are performers of the prophecy, and blessed are those who are doers of the decrees. Those last two verses, they look like they're very similar. One, the number 6, is referring specifically to the book of Revelation, this prophecy. Number 7 is talking about all the commandments of the Word of God there. And blessed, what does it mean? Fully satisfied. Are you fully satisfied? God wants you to be fully satisfied. You know, one of the biggest lies of the devil that I've told you before is that he wants us to think that there's something better for us than what God has. And so therefore mankind goes looking for other things other than that close relationship with our Heavenly Father. And whenever we have that, we are fully satisfied. May the Lord bless you, make you fully satisfied, and that's only found in the Lord. He's the only one who can give full satisfaction when we are totally surrendered to Him and we're in that bridegroom relationship with Him. And the Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessedness that is ours in Christ. And Lord, we pray for those who are searching for fulfillment, for contentment. People are searching all over this world trying to find the answer. And we know that the answer is in Christ. Christ truly satisfies. He fulfills the longing of the heart, the void that's within every person without Christ. People are searching for something to fill that void. And we thank you that it's in Christ. Father, we pray for our fathers. We pray that you would help us, that we indeed would be blessed fathers, fully satisfied because we're doing these things that were mentioned in both Matthew and Revelation. And Father, once again, we pray, even as we did earlier, for those in Charleston today that are worshiping, that you would comfort their hearts and that you would minister to them. We thank you for the blessedness that is theirs, and thank you for the testimony that they have demonstrated through the news media. And we pray that Christ would continue to be seen and His love would continue to be seen through them. We pray that you would give them the strength that they need. and that you would comfort them as only the Lord can do. Father, thank you again for these Beatitudes, for the full blessings that are ours in Christ. For it's in his name we pray.